Much has been written about the Kennedy clan, a family full of successful business people and politicians who also rubbed elbows with some of the biggest celebrities of their time.
But the ambitious and driven family with nine children had a closely guarded secret. The oldest girl, Rosemary, was born with serious disabilities. In that era, physical and emotional disabilities were seen as the result of faulty genes or as a punishment of the parents. The medical field had a poor understanding of the causes and few options for treatment.
Rosemary Kennedy lived the last several decades of her life right here in Wisconsin at St. Coletta's School in Jefferson. Joining us to talk about Rosemary and her surprising legacy is author and historian Kate Clifford Larson. Her most recent book is Rosemary, The Hidden Kennedy Daughter. Kate, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
So what were the first indications that Rosemary was not like her siblings?
When she was a toddler, it became apparent to her parents that she was slower in her development than her older brothers, Joe and Jack. You know, she had trouble learning how to eat, slower to walk and talk and use a bicycle and things like that. So they recognized that there was something different. And when the next two children, Rosemary's younger sisters, Kathleen, Kick, and Eunice were born, and they, you know, went right through their developmental changes at what were expected times, they realized that Rosemary was significantly delayed and that there was a problem.
So Rosemary was born in 1918. How would you describe the societal attitudes about people with physical and mental disabilities at that time?
It was not very good, that's for sure. We live in an entirely different world now. But in 1918 and the 1920s, when Rosemary was growing up as a young child in school, there were few resources for her. The teachers were at a loss as to how to help educate her and, you know, help her improve her skills. And in society in general, there were very unsophisticated ideas about what intellectual disabilities were, and they had horrible names for people who had lower IQs, which Rosemary did have a lower IQ, and so there were these terrible terms like imbecile and moron, and it was just horrifying to think about the ways they treated and thought about people with disabilities, and many of them were put away in institutions, locked away from their families and communities because no one wanted to deal with them.
So Joe and Rose were the parents of the Kennedy clan, and they were in a difficult position. They had instilled ambition and a very strong sense of competitive nature in their children, but clearly Rosemary couldn't keep up. And in addition, they were worried that her condition would reflect badly on them and especially on their aspirations for their sons. How would you describe their attempts to manage her condition?
Early on, they didn't really manage it so much as they sought ways to cure her. And, of course, we all know that you can't cure someone who has intellectual disabilities. So they sent her to many different schools and different doctors looking for solutions to what they believed was something that could be cured if Rosemary just had the right teacher or the right doctor or the right medication. And if she would just buckle down and study hard, then she could be as talented and bright as her siblings. And as she got older, that's when it became more of a problem for Joe and Rose because their boys were getting older, excuse me, and they were, you know, their aspirations were becoming apparent. The parents wanted them to be successful, and to have Rosemary acting out and of limited intellectual capacity just didn't fit the image they wanted everyone to see of their family. So they tried to find ways to hide her.
It's also interesting that they were already dealing with feeling like outsiders and being somewhat marginalized because they were Catholic, and they were trying to make names for themselves and establish themselves in that very Protestant North New England kind of area.
Absolutely. They definitely lived with prejudice against Irish Catholics, and Joe was very smart and very successful, but he ran into those old-line Protestant successful families who would not accept, you know, the new upstart Irish financier and bright guy on the block, and they refused him access to their clubs, and it infuriated him, and he wanted to be sure that his sons would never be shunned, that they would never be turned away. And having Rosemary with her issues posed another problem for them, because they feared that that would help limit the sons' access to the higher echelons of society.
We're talking with author and historian Kate Clifford Larson. Her most recent book is Rosemary, the Hidden Kennedy Daughter. And one thing that I found really interesting was that Rose Kennedy, Rosemary's mother, actually was ahead of her time in at least one area. She was trying to, what we now say, mainstream Rosemary and keep her in classes with people who were her chronological age, not necessarily her developmental age.
That's true. So I sort of give Rose some credit for trying to do that. However, there was a tremendous gap between what Rose desired for her daughter and sought for her daughter and what the teachers and schools were able to provide. And so today, of course, Rosemary would be mainstreamed in classrooms. But back in the 1920s and 1930s, that was not possible. And Rosemary just fell further and further behind her classmates. She was kept back grades several times so that she just didn't fit in anymore. And she started acting out because she became very frustrated by not being able to keep up with her peers. And so the teachers just didn't know how to deal with her. So it just led to a series of inappropriate educational placements for Rosemary.
So she did start to regress and to have those frequent violent outbursts in her early 20s. And tragically for her, that was when lobotomies emerged as a form of treatment. Tell us about the decision to perform that operation on Rosemary.
This is such a tragic decision that Joe Kennedy made. They had returned from England after he had been ambassador there just as on the eve of World War II. And Rosemary had blossomed in England with the Assumption School that she went to, and she had been taught with the Montessori method. So her outbursts had come less often, but they came back to the United States and they couldn't find an appropriate place for her. And she started acting out and escaping from the convent school that they had put her in as a 23-year-old woman. She was escaping at night, and they imagined she was with young men and doing heaven knows what. So Joe heard of this new procedure called the lobotomy being performed in Washington, D.C., where Rosemary was at a convent school. And James Watts and Walter Freeman had performed fewer than 100 lobotomies at the time that they performed the operation on Rosemary. And the American Medical Association warned against the surgery. They said it wasn't perfected yet, that it was just an experiment. But Joe went ahead and had his daughter subjected to it, which is very puzzling that he would do this to her considering how experimental the surgery was. And, of course, the surgery was a horrific disaster. And it's a deep question about whether Rose knew or not. And I discovered that she did know that Joe was inquiring about a lobotomy. She said she had no idea that the lobotomy had taken place. That is not true. She did know that it happened. Whether or not she agreed to it, we're not really sure. But the tragedy is she never saw her daughter for 20 years after that. And that is just remarkable to me.
So Rosemary ended up at the St. Coletta School in Jefferson, Wisconsin, where she spent more than 50 years until her death in 2005. Tell us about St. Coletta's and the kind of life that she had there.
I think that her life at St. Coletta's was really wonderful. It was nurturing and safe. And she also blossomed in a sense that she became healthier. She had a lot of physical therapy. She had very patient nuns that worked with her. She acquired more speech than she had before. She had been at another institution for several years after the lobotomy, and she couldn't walk or talk or do anything. But at St. Coletta, she learned all those things, and the nuns really loved her and took care of her, and she grew to be very comfortable and very happy there. In fact, when she eventually started visiting her family again in the 1970s, it was quite traumatic for her to leave St. Coletta's, where she was comfortable and she had friends and people that loved and cared for her, to go back to her strange home. And it was very, there were often very intense and a rocky time for her.
And while she clearly had serious disabilities, in her younger life, she was very well liked. She enjoyed social outings. She would go to dances with her brother Jack, who became President John F. Kennedy. But after this lobotomy, she was just a shell of her former self.
Right. She was a shell of her former self. However, she still was cognizant, even though she couldn't really communicate very well. She knew her siblings. She knew enough to know that she had been abandoned by her mother and that this terrible thing had happened to her. So she did have that anger and frustration that remained a part of her life. But growing up and as a young woman, she was beautiful. She was happy. She was immature, certainly, for her age. But she, you know, was just a delightful, delightful person. And it's such a tragedy that with all the money that the Kennedys had, that Joe decided to do this operation rather than find another placement for her that would have made her life a lot better.
Well, and you mentioned her siblings, and Rosemary was very much a part of the family life for the first couple decades of her life. But then she was shipped away after the botched operation. And for many years, none of her siblings pressed their parents about details of where she was and what she was doing. How do you make sense of that?
I can't make sense of it. But Eunice Shriver spoke about that. Timothy Shriver, in his book last year, wrote about that, that his parent, his mother and his aunts and uncles had said that they had no idea where Rosemary went, what had happened to her, and they had learned not to ask. And I find that shocking, but knowing Joe and Rose and how powerful and controlling they were, I can imagine that those kids had learned not to rock the boat, and they did what their parents told them. As a matter of fact, Senator Ted Kennedy wrote in his memoir that he was 9 years old when Rosemary was lobotomized and disappeared from the family, and he said that he had learned that he'd better behave or he might disappear like Rosemary too.
So brother Teddy Kennedy and sister Eunice Kennedy Shriver both credit Rosemary with inspiring them to work to improve the lives of people with disabilities. In concrete terms, what can we point to as Rosemary's legacy?
Oh, my goodness, so much. Not only Special Olympics, which is a worldwide organization to bring sports and activities and research and everything for people with disabilities and their families, but so much legislation has been passed since President Kennedy was in office right through to the present day. The Americans with Disabilities Act was passed because of efforts of Senator Ted Kennedy and others. Much legislation has come out of this passion for correcting the wrongs that were in the world when Rosemary was a child. Eunice was deeply affected by the way Rosemary was treated as a young child and young woman, the rejection and the pain and anguish. And I think that Eunice continued till the day she died to try to make it a better world for everybody. Same with Senator Ted Kennedy and Sister Jean Kennedy Smith, all of them, and the younger generations as well. Anthony Shriver with his Best Buddies program, Timothy Shriver is now running Special Olympics. They all are living the legacy of Rosemary. She had a tremendously powerful impact on the family, and we are a better nation because of it.
Well, Kate Clifford Larson, thank you so much for joining us today. It was a really fascinating book and a fascinating discussion.
Thank you very much for having me.
Kate Clifford Larson is a historian. Her most recent book is Rosemary, The Hidden Kennedy Daughter.